Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome to another episode of Puck Dynasty, a part of the Hockey Fantasy Hockey Hacks Network. It is, well, we're probably uploading this on Saturday, February 24th. I'm Ryan Black. I'm here with my good friend Evan Deaver today. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I can already tell this one's going to be a struggle. I can already tell. Just struggling to get words out that the sleep regression in this house is starting to affect my podcasting.
Well, you know, you got two little ones by the end of the week on a Friday. Yeah, it just catches up with you.
The goose is cooked, pal. The goose is cooked. The little daughter of mine, 6 month old, is getting up every hour now. The boy doesn't want to sleep. It's
What do you got
there? No one tells you. Ginger ale. It's all that we got left in the house.
Ginger. It's not bad.
Anyways, we got a lot to go over today. So let's cut the bullshit. First of all, I would like to offer an apology to my GM buddy in one of my leagues. When we started this podcast, I didn't think that guys from our leagues would find it. And one guy did. And he's the guy who I said I robbed him of Evan Bouchard last week. I'm sorry, Arizona. I didn't rob you. At the time, the deal was okay. It's worse now. But we all make good and bad deals. You know, I was thinking today, you know what you and I need to do, Ev, this summer? Is a worst deals that we've made episode. Because I feel like I certainly talk a lot about the wins. I have lost some deals. I traded Robert Thomas, who's pacing for 94 points this year, for J.J. Paterka this summer, you know? I mean, mind you, there was some cap stuff there, but I make bad deals. Well, Arizona, we all make bad deals. Don't worry, buddy.
You're so active, and at some point, you probably have owned like 75% of the fantasy players in our league.
That's probably a stretch.
Yeah.
But maybe 25%. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in win 90% of your trades and make a lot of trades. You know, like that's, you'll always come out ahead on those trades.
Yeah, you're like a day trader for that. You're just like moving.
Well, isn't that what this show's about?
Well, kind of, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Low, selling high. We're talking, listen, don't defend your sit on your ass strategy.
Well,
we're out here telling people, this
is more of like a personality trait or deficiency, you could say, with me, because it's like I'll sit there and like even after I make a trade, I'll see like Gunther got a point and that I'm like, ah, god damn it. I knew it. And he was a third piece on a deal and stuff like that. So,
make a better deal.
Yeah,
you don't like it.
It'll still turn out. Like Timmy's a gamer, but Otto just needs to get their shit together.
I've got a bad case of that this week, pal. So after our trade episode last week, I pulled off some pretty major deals. The next day, I acquired McKinnon, Robert Thomas, Brock Faber, Thomas Harley, and Jesper Bratt. And one of the GMs who gave me a bunch of those pieces, he pulled some very nice moves. He turned around and moved some assets for some other guys, but loaded his farm in our deal. And he is thumping me this week, like mercilessly. He's doubling me, and I think I'm the third highest scoring team in the league or something like that this week, despite having a bad week. But this guy is just taking it to me. And I'm just like, man, like, what do you do? I traded him Kevin Fiala in that deal. Fiala has a couple points this week. You know, I think I sent him Fantilli. So thankfully I haven't had to see that. But especially when you're making deals on upgrades where you send a point per game guy to get a 1.5 point per game guy, you'll see that Gunther thing you're talking about where the other guy will outscore you 1 or 2 weeks of the rest of the season. Yeah. He just will. I traded Batherson. Batherson had 2 points the other night.
Yeah, your week this week is kind of like the fantasy hockey gods kind of shining down, being like, oh, so you think you had such a good trade deadline, eh?
It happens every time. I bet the week that I lose the most in leagues where I'm competing to win, year in, year out, is the week after the trade deadline. They're like, listen, we'll let you roster bait after the draft, But in February, it's bad form. It's just like shit-talking your opponents. I don't do it because I'm like, I firmly believe it comes back on you. Anyways.
I pumped your tires in the group chat a few times.
You did,
I should have refrained for your sake.
Well, I don't know if you were wrong. I still think it might be one of the best rosters we've seen, but we'll see. Still got to win something. So, but that league has a $350 USD regular season title. So honestly, like if I win that, that pays for my year and then some. So, I just got to win one of the titles. Anyways. Lots to talk about this week. Lots of stuff around the NHL we want to cover. Let's see if we get to it all. For starters, let's talk about our MVP notes. We have got a serious race this year. Auston Matthews is having a historic season. I think he's pacing for 74 goals right now.
Something like that.
He is a shade under a goal per game. Obviously, Kucherov's leading the way. You've got Mac. He's at 94 points after last night. Man, did you guys ever almost get... Well, he did get jobbed last night. Hey, that Alex Lyon just stole that game.
Yeah, he played really well. The Avs are up and down a bit. They're still, you know, still keeping pace. They haven't had a great time out of the All-Star break, but Mac keeps rolling. He's got, what was it, the second? He tied Gordie Howe for point streak on home ice to start the season.
Oh, did he?
I didn't know that. I think Gretzky did the whole season once, but of course. But so, yes, there's no breaking that unless he gets 41 because they maybe only played 80 games or something. Season,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Max got a point every game at home this year. Makar's been pretty quiet the last little while. He even called Makar himself out. Makar has been
quiet.
Yeah, he called himself out. Out yesterday saying he needs to be better and not so much. But yeah, no, it's Max having a great year. Same with Cooch.
If you had to vote today, who's your MVP?
Today.
Season ends today. So Matthews like isn't top five in scoring.
Yeah, that's the thing.
A goal per game.
Like, what do you value more? Is it this ridiculous? Well, and he's got 52, is it 52 or 51? 52 in what, 56 games? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a ridiculous pace. And a lot of that's like over the last 34 games or so. He's got like a goal per game in that time stretch. So that's pretty wild. Voting today. Yeah, it's between Matthews and Mac for me.
Why Mac over Kucherov? Playoffs? Like, Kucherov's got him beat by a few points still.
Just because I like Mac better. But yeah, center.
And, we can leave it there.
Yeah.
Well, Venus, who cares about center? We're talking about MVP, not who's most positionally valuable.
Okay.
Who's
the MVP? The team's doing better.
Team's doing better. Okay. My vote goes to Matthews. I saw a tweet that I really liked that said, Auston Matthews is going to work on passing to a guy who passes to another guy who scores so he can lock down some MVP votes because he's got like the least second assists in the top 10 in scoring or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, that's a pretty good argument. You know, if he had the same amount of second assists as Kucherov and Mac, he'd be leading the league in scoring. Okay. That's a go. He's MVP.
Yeah, that's that'd be an interesting stat line if you had just primaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. But I think by the end of the year, like Art Ross, like Connor keeps coming and keeps catching up bit by bit here.
I have very little doubt McDavid will win the Art Ross again. He tends to go nuclear right about now. Even if he wins the Art Ross, he's not my pick for MVP. It's Matthews. If you score 70 goals, you get the MVP. The end, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
that's fair.
You're talking about a once in a generation. We're not going to see this again.
That's fair. I just want my boy to get some hardware. God damn it!
Your boy has the only important
hardware. I know. Why but does it some matter? Individual no,
you don't
stuff.
Know. You don't know because you just said he's your pick because you want him to be. He's got the Stanley Cup, man. Who cares?
Well, Kucherov didn't do himself any favors.
Matt get shafted? Has Matt deserved an MVP he didn't win, or is he just always in the conversation?
Well, there was the Taylor Hall year.
All right, I'll give you the Taylor Hall year.
Yeah.
I can tell you're bitter about it because you pulled that out really quickly. So well, I'll give you that.
We know.
Although, Taylor Hall did have a heck of a year that year.
You can give it to him. But it's just...
Mac is the Leonardo DiCaprio of our generation. I don't know if you understand that reference, but Leo always was, you know, runner-up for Best Picture, and then they gave it to him, or Best Actor, and then they gave it to him on The Revenant, which wasn't his best movie. Mac will win a trophy when he gets 91 points one year. That's the way it'll work. They'll be like, oh, shoot, he's 30? We better give him an award soon.
Or the next pandemic when it's a 30-game season. Yeah, give him the heart.
That's right. Sorry, my Oilers game is about to start here, and I'm still watching Buffalo. What am I doing?
Buffalo. What a disappointment.
It's painful. Oh, there we go. There's my Oilers. All right. Next up, fantasy hockey playoffs are coming. This is more advice. We don't need to talk about this that much. But if you haven't looked at your playoff schedules yet, there is a fair amount of diversity in the schedule from March 11th to April 7th. And that is to say there are three teams that play 15 times. They are the New York Rangers, the Ottawa Senators, and the Washington Capitals. There are a bunch of teams that play 14 times. Anaheim, Carolina, Columbus, LA, Jersey, Islanders, Pittsburgh, San Jose, St. Louis, and Winnipeg. And then Vancouver only plays 11 times in the playoffs. So what does this mean for you? There are some guys, if you've got fringe Vancouver players, you should be dropping them as the playoffs get closer. If guys like Pinto or Ridley Gregg, either of the Stroms, Nino, Norris, or Zellweger are available, assuming he gets called up, you should look at picking those guys up. And if your trade deadline is coming, target New York, Ottawa, and Washington if you can, because they'll give you an extra game or two. Any thoughts there?
No, those are some good advice.
Well, thanks. You know, I thought a lot about this. Playoffs
is not my forte for this year. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just sitting here hoping a team loses or a team wins at this point so I can get into that lotto bowl.
One of these years, pal. One of these years, you're gonna emerge like the beautiful butterfly you are.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And I'm, you know, I won't lie to you. Part of my strategy to going all in over the next 3 years was I want no part of you in years 4 and 5. I forget it. Not too worried about you before that, but well, as is, we'll see how many deals you make. Okay,
they're all going to come in and be first liners anyways. So,
beg your pardon?
They're all going to come in and be first liners anyways.
That is the most Evan Devers thing you've ever said.
Well, just wait for when Mitch comes over, who, by the way, is knocking on the door at the under-20
all-time under-20 scoring record. Yeah, he's 1 point away, and he's got one game to do it.
Yeah, so that's I was actually going to ask you, when he steps into the league, what kind of production do you think you can expect from him? Like, he'll have, I assume they're going to lock down Travis Konechny, Owen Tippett. Too bad.
It doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about that. I think he will be a higher than normal scoring rookie. I think Panarin's probably a good bar for him. I think Panarin scored like 73 in his rookie year to beat McDavid. Between 70 and 80 in his rookie year, I think will be about right. And then he'll be pushing 90-100 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
It'll take him a little bit of time to figure it out, but he's such a smart player that if he scored 90 as a rookie, it wouldn't shock me. But I always like to temper those types of comments by looking at the highest scoring rookies over the last 20 years. And if he scored 90 points, he'd probably be number one on the list. So just watch it.
Well, and you don't want to set things up to be that it was a disappointment too coming through.
I don't think he'll be a disappointment. He'll win Rookie of the Year. He'll be the next big thing. And we'll finally get to see some Bedard versus Michkov. NHL trade deadline's only 2 weeks and a day away. You want to do some predictions?
Sure.
All right, where's Guentzel going?
Guentzel, I'm going to say he's going to go to Carolina.
I should preface this by saying that Dubas had... Come on, laugh audibly, you prefacing mother. Dubas has said that they're open for business on everyone, which I don't know how true that is, but that does lead me to believe the Guentzel deal is going to happen. What were you going to say for the team? Sorry?
I said Carolina for Guentzel.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Carolina, it's their year to go all in. Last year they watched the East load up, and I think they just thought, eh, we'll do it next year. They've got some competition. The Rangers are going to need to make, some moves. Do you think Carolina goes for a goalie, or are they going to do Kochetev the rest of the way? He's been good.
Yeah. If the right deal comes along, maybe, but he's been great, and they have the depth behind him too with Freddie. So,
oh man, I don't. Do you want to go into the playoffs with Freddie as your number two? Like, great number two to have if he's healthy, and he is back and playing right now. But I would be so scared if you're going for a cup to not. Okay. So what if something comes up with his blood?
Are you thinking math or something? Or?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think Fleury makes a ton of sense for them.
Yeah.
Mind you, then they have to carry three goalies the rest of the way. But I struggle to. What happens if something happens? You got one goalie the rest of the way. Like, well,
What has Freddie done since he came back from injury, too? That's the other question.
Well, I don't think he's played yet. He's just practicing now. So,
your point is strong there that, you know, how much you got a rookie goalie that's playing out of his mind right now.
A rookie goalie of the future, for sure. He's the guy there for a long time. But if he falters, and say they do go get Guentzel, you're all in. You better have another goalie option there. Even if, like, Fleury would come cheap.
Yeah, he'll...
Assuming they'll not give bidding him, war.
Yeah, he's second. Second, and so. Guentzel would cost first, and I don't know. Do you think they trade Scott Morrow?
If it's Guentzel in the same conference, I mean, first of all, your offer has to be a win for Dubas, so it wouldn't shock me if he said it's Nikishin. It wouldn't shock me. Guys like Jake Guentzel don't get dealt a lot. He's the perfect playoff ad for a team like them in the sense that he's a clutch guy in the playoffs. You don't want him going to pick a team. You don't want him going to Dallas or New York or something stupid like that. And if they like Scott Morrow enough, maybe they can absorb that Nikishin. I mean, there's two playoffs between now and when Nikishin's going to suit up for them. So if they think that Guentzel would stay there, I could see a Nikishin deal. That would be my starting point if I'm Dubas, for sure. Because the thing is you can go and get two firsts from just about anyone who wants them. For Guentzel, I would take two firsts over Morrow. Morrow in a first, yeah, that's probably right there. It depends on the team.
Fair. Be a big deal.
I think it will be a very big deal.
That's a big piece.
And Carolina can afford them. Rental. He's not a rental in Carolina. That's the thing. Carolina will keep him. And he solves, like, Carolina's issues in the playoffs have been scoring year in, year out. So Guentzel's a perfect ad for them. I do think they wish he was a center. But, I think Guentzel's a guy who finishes that Carolina package that they've been building for a long time.
and they'd still have Scott Moore on the pipeline. So, and then Dubas can be happy because Nikishin's a great piece to add. So we'll see. Yeah, if I'm Dubas and teams are offering me two firsts, or Carolina comes in and says, we'll give you Nikishin, I take Nikishin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over too late.
Well, yeah, most likely, but it's... Dubas has his work cut out for him, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's... you almost wanted to go, like, full fantasy hockey GM with that squad, because it would be perfect. It's the perfect team to do it. It's like, okay, yeah, we were loading up, and it's just not going to work. Let's just sell everyone. It all falls on Sid. And if Sid doesn't want to go, then what are you going to do, right?
Then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, you got to keep everyone together. So
I mean, in theory, I don't know. Do Malkin and Letang have no trades?
Probably. Don't know. But
if they, because I mean, the thing you could say is that, okay, Sid, we won't trade you, but we just traded Malkin and Letang and Carlson. Stay.
Yeah.
You want to stay? Stay. Otherwise, we will send you to Colorado or Edmonton or Toronto or, like, pick your destination. Give us three teams. Colorado will be one of them. We know that.
There's a deal there in Colorado. They got the pieces.
The issue is they can't pay the same price that it... Well, the what's... What's your first rounder's name again?
Callum Ritchie.
Yeah, Ritchie's a good piece. I kept thinking Barlow there. Like, Ritchie in a first is a great move for you guys. And
I think it'd be more. I like my. It would be. So I'd go big. I'd want Sid at 50%, and I'd go Byram, Ritchie, Ryan Johansson, and a first.
That is big.
It's a big deal. But
how many years does Crosby have left?
Two, including this
one. Oh, is that it?
Yeah. But he's resigning under those circumstances.
Well, who cares? Just resign or don't. You're getting Crosby.
Yeah. But
he only has next year.
Yeah, I said including this year, 2 years.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I mean, you're right. He'll probably stick around. I could also see him going back to Pittsburgh if they did it fast enough. If you get a Nikishin who's coming over after next season and some kids who can play in 1.5 years, I could see Sid retiring in Pittsburgh too. But who cares? If you get Crosby for 1.5 years, it's worth all that.
Oh, gosh. Him, Sid is your second line center. And then you can spread things out. You got Sid with Nichushkin. And
Landeskog, allegedly.
And, well, Lando maybe first line back with Rantanen, and then Nichushkin and
Lekkonen.
Or you keep Ritchie and you just... I think for the Avs, it's either... I would rather them go, if they can't do that, which is a total pipe dream as an Avs fan, or just...
Do nothing.
I don't want to pay assets for Adam Henrik or anything like that. I
agree with that.
It's just more of the same.
Which leads us to the Oilers, who are in probably a similar situation. There's not a lot we can do for rentals because there's no cap to re-sign anyone next year. So we're probably looking at 2-year players. My thoughts are, first of all, I would just like to say that I stick by my guns on that Draisaitl proposal of Boldy and Faber for Draisaitl. Boldy was put up 50 for us this year. Faber's amazing. But I think a Buchnevich and Jordan Harris combo could make sense for us. We're in a lot of trouble in that we can't spend on a top six guy and a D. You're going to have to spend on one or the other. But Jordan Harris is available out in Montreal, and I really like his game. It sucks that he's as young as he is, but if we could add Harris and Buchnevich, I would be happy, and both those guys have next year signed. So that's the type of deal the Oilers need to make. Boone Jenner is another guy who fits, but I'd prefer to load up our top six versus.
But yeah, Bucevic would be a nice pickup to play with Dry. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that. We did the Avs. Flames. All right, let's do the Flames.
I could see one more with the Oilers. I could see a guy like Eric Johnson heading there.
He makes a decent chunk though, doesn't he?
$3 million.
Right, yeah, like we're dollar in. We're dollar in, dollar out. So if you spend $3 million on him, then you don't really have the money to add an impact top sixer.
Well, you get them to eat 1.5.
Yeah, Eric Johnson wouldn't be the worst, I suppose. I haven't loved him in Buffalo this year. I've seen a lot of the Johnson rumblings. I just think veteran presence, yes, but we don't need that. We've got Corey Perry now. We've got lots of veterans. Our best players are veterans. I'd rather see someone who can maybe grow a little bit, take their game to the next level. But Harris would no doubt be a risk. His advanced stats are very, very good. And he's been good in Montreal, but they have just log jams in their decor now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's as a fallback. Okay, let's rattle him off. Where's Noah Hanifin going? America, obviously.
Well, rumblings around Calgary here is Boston's been knocking on the door. Names like Poitras coming back the other way. Poitras in a pick. I could see that working. Boston seems to be, when Boston identifies a player they want, they kind of just go and get him.
Man, that is steep for Boston, though.
It
is. Poitras is their future top 6C. I mean, if you could send a couple first, I think that would be preferred. I could also see Tampa making a run at him. Just because. And then, of course, you know what? The X factor is Vegas has $20 million in cap now.
Yeah, they always seem to come and swoop in and be like, we got no state tax. Yeah.
So weird how their guys get hurt like this all the time. I mean, the most Vegas move ever would be they go get Hanifin, Gensel, and Boone Jenner or something like that. Just because who cares? Kick the can, and then next year they trade Petrangelo.
Fix it.
And
fix it.
Yeah, they have to fix it.
We went over this, right? On one of the pods. The fix.
I think so.
If you don't play after the trade deadline, you can't play in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd go harder than that. I would say 10 games.
Sure. Miss
the first 10 games.
Sure, but yeah.
The first round, I don't know that that necessarily fixes it because so Eichel and Stone are out for the first round, but they add Hanifin, Gensel, and Jenner just to pick some guys. They probably get out of the first round. They're still winning games despite them missing Eichel and Theodore for, you know, since the All-Star break or before the All-Star break. So to me, it's like a round and a half, 2 rounds. You think you can get out of the first? Okay. You think you can get out of the second? Because I've just had it. Yeah. It's such a cheat that, like, I would almost prefer to say, if you don't play after the trade deadline, you don't play. Like, stop it.
Yeah, like, let's say, like, Landeskog's a cherry pick, but he's, you know, if he's good to go in the first game of the playoffs, he's good to go in the 82nd game of the regular season. You know, like, yeah. That's the frustration everyone has with it, you know, Kucherov missing the whole year. But this is the game they allow us to play, and it's up to the owners and spending the money.
Yeah, I think they'll fix it in the next CBA. You think Boston, maybe Tampa. I'm going to say Vegas is in there just because. Is Rasmus Anderson going to move?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Tanev, I will say Vancouver or Edmonton.
I could see Toronto stepping up. Toronto's
another good pick, yeah.
Yeah.
And then will Jacob Markstrom move?
I'm I'm going to say no.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think the price tag is steep for right now. They're not retaining. And the team that was going after him, they're falling out of the playoff race. So it's just...
Jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't... I could see Jersey just saying, you know what? Not right now. Let's revisit this in the off season. And the price probably goes down a bit. So... That and they want him in at the 4.5 mil to 5 mil range. And Calgary's owner is just, he just won't do it.
Interesting.
And Calgary still wants to compete. So they're just, they don't want dead cap.
Well, here's an interesting fact. So in the Sean Monahan deal, there was a conditional 2025 first. And if Calgary's pick is between 20 and 32, Montreal can take their 25 first. If it's not, it moves to 26.
That trade is like trying to...
The gift that keeps on giving.
Well, it's like trying to read the like a treaty from back in the 1800s. It's like you're trying to like... It's what? Which pick is what?
Yeah,
the Florida one, and this one.
But like if Calgary doesn't trade Markstrom, there's a chance that their pick is around that 20 range, you know, and the last thing they want to do is be giving up, like, I guess maybe they're worse than 26, but it's an extra factor. If Markstrom's going to Jersey, he's going soon, like pre-deadline, because they can't wait till the deadline. We talked about Buchnevich a bit. The Rangers are going to make moves because they've got Wheeler and Scheitel gone for the year. Where do you think Boone Jenner goes? Or does he go? We could do a whole episode about Columbus. We really should. I am so sick of Columbus's bullshit.
Columbus roast.
What happened to Connor? I've been shitting on Columbus since the Babcock incident. Longer than that, I've been shitting on them. Well, yeah, we've talked about this since they didn't sell when Panarin and Bobrovsky were UFAs. But that organization has just been shitting the bed for such a long time, and now you've got the president,
John Davidson,
thank you, is the acting GM for a rather important deadline. So they've got guys like Elvis, who's requested a trade. They've got Boone Jenner, who they've said isn't going anywhere for some reason. And Provorov is another guy who could probably fetch a pretty decent return. They're going to move any of them?
I think JD said that Jenner's not going anywhere. So
he did.
Yeah. So he's probably your best valued tradable asset.
For sure he is.
Great contract. I think he's at just under 4 mil. For a few years
3.8 left. 3.8 for this year and next. Yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't sound like they want to trade him. He's the captain. Blah, blah, blah. Elvis,
stupid.
Nobody's picking up the tab on Elvis. You know, 5.4 times 4 years. Good luck.
You know what? I disagree with that.
Do you?
Yes.
How so?
I think they could trade him for Jacob Marks or Jacob Campbell. Jack Campbell.
Jack.
Wow, Jesus. We got to start doing these podcasts in the morning. Jack Campbell. I think there could be a deal there.
If you guys want to take on Elvis?
We're already paying Campbell.
No, you're buying him out.
Yeah, I would sooner take on Elvis because the buyout would be similar, albeit for an extra year. But we at least have a serviceable goalie, you know, like Picard has been good. If you're happy rolling Picard, then roll Picard. But I could see a deal with Edmonton because they're probably the only team in the league that would go, Elvis makes sense for us.
I suppose, but isn't Jack's, I'll disagree on that one, but isn't Jack's buyout like 1.5 mil? Or something like that?
Well, at times it's all over the place. So here, I'll whip this up real quick because I haven't looked into Elvis.
So while you're doing that, so whatever it is, you pick up a $2 million backup. You're rolling with Skinner. Skinner's good. Yeah, I don't. I just don't buy Elvis being. He's had flashes here and there, but he's not. And he doesn't want to be a backup anywhere either. He's just going to be pissy pants over in Edmonton then.
All right, so Jack Campbell's buyout would be 1.1 next year, 2.3, 2.6, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, okay? For hypothetical's sake, let's just take a look at what Elvis would be. Assuming Elvis, it's the exact same. It's 1.15, 1.6, 2.9, 1.7, 1.7, 1.7.
Yeah, so, 2.6 year sucks, but the rest is not much at all. So I don't know. You're better off with the $4 million cap space next year than to roll with Elvis. $4 million plus
as a backup. I don't hate Elvis as much as a lot of people do. He has been on a bad team for a very long time. And his stats. Numbers. So here's his stats going. So this year he's 900. Last year he's 876. 907 the year before. 916 the year before. 923 as a rookie. Those aren't bad numbers. His average in the NHL is 905. In a league where goaltending percentages are dropping. 905 is decent. Columbus is bad, man. Like, that is a very bad team. I don't hate it. I don't hate the deal. I think it actually makes some sense for us, from especially in the sense that this is an all-in year. Next year is an all-in year. If Skinner was an all-star last year and he was not an all-star in the playoffs. We'll just put it lightly to say he wasn't an all-star in the playoffs. If that happens again, where we need to put in the next guy, I would rather the next guy be Elvis than Calvin Pickard. That's where I'm at.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. I hear you. What would the upside be for Columbus in picking up Jack?
Elvis Campbell? Wants to move. They would get an asset out of this. Probably only a second or maybe a second.
Oh, so you're adding to Jack.
Yeah, and they buy out Campbell. They're headed into a rebuild, so like, what's it matter? Because you're right. There's probably all of one team in the league who would look at Elvis right now and say, yeah, us. So you might be buying him out anyways, so why not take the assets?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do it, but...
All right, let's real quick rattle these off. Where's Tarasenko going?
Rags.
Again?
Yeah.
Interesting. I am going to say Tarasenko to Carolina.
Okay.
Where is Henrique going?
I say Rags as well.
Rags is a good one, yep. Is Anthony Mantha worth anything? No.
They'll hold.
Ebbs, yeah. Is Eberle moving?
Well, I'm a romantic.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's send him back to the Oilers.
Oh, man. I think I still got my autographed Evans jersey, too. I definitely have my Team Canada. William Carrier. Carrier, if you prefer the French. Hold.
Yeah.
I mean, Nashville has to do something. I think he'll move. I don't know where. It'll be a spin the wheel of
defense. Well, no, he's Vegas.
What? No.
Yeah. He's,
I even was going to write this because I thought he was Vegas too. but I'm pretty sure, unless I wrote down the wrong name. Oh,
there's
he is.
There's Vegas. Another Carrier.
There must be another Carrier. Yeah, because I was like, oh, Nashville. Let's see. Hold on. Here we go, talking about fantasy irrelevant players.
Yeah.
You see what happened. Oh, yeah, like, Alexander Carrier. There it is. Yeah. Alexander Carrier, a defenseman who has played. Here we go. Who was the defenseman that we realized still plays in the AHL a few weeks ago?
Oh, was that the Scandella?
Yeah, Marco Scandella. Where does he play?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Yeah, so Carrier has 16 points in 52 games for Nashville. He's a low cap 560, man. Where is Alexander Carrier? All right, we'll pass on that one. what values are affected with these moves? That's impossible to say. We're going to do that after the trade deadline. Vegas Irish shenanigans, we talked about already. All right, this one I wanted to touch on. Have you heard that the NHL is monitoring the attendance situation in Manitoba?
Monitoring. I heard a bit on the radio today how there's a lot of empty seats up there. There's not a lot of corporate support. So the revenue is borderline not sustainable. Out of where it's at.
Yeah, the Jets chairman said it's dire. And Gary Bettman, let me see what the line is. The NHL is monitoring the Jets' declining season's ticket sale quite closely, and Commissioner Gary Bettman will be in Winnipeg next Tuesday to meet with some of the team's corporate sponsors. All I have to say about this is Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. If the NHL isn't going to work in Manitoba, it isn't going to work in Manitoba. But if you are taking a flight to talk to anyone, it should be the Arizona Coyotes. I saw a stat. I really should save this. But the stat was Arizona cleared $1 million in revenue on games against, it was like Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Chicago. Pittsburgh, they were going to make that money. And Pittsburgh was in there. Like six games this year, they're going to clear $1 million. And in the old arena, they did it like 18 times a year on average before that.
18?
Like, what are we talking about?
I thought it was
like
twice they did it in 18 years at the Glendale Arena.
No, the Glendale was higher. Glendale was definitely higher. You're going to make me find this. Arizona, $1 million revenue Coyotes.
Which, you know, on a 5,000-seat stadium is not bad.
Sure, but like...
But what's their TV deal worth? Peanuts, probably. Are you all right, buddy?
Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. All info per the Coyotes. Let's see how wrong I got this today. Oh, I did get it. So they had four games in Mullet that topped it. It was Toronto, Boston, Edmonton, Chicago. Pittsburgh and first Chicago game top 950. By contrast, they had 37 gates over $1 million in 18 years in Glendale. So they're actually close.
2 year.
Two-year versus four this year.
Yeah.
But you know, like you look at the teams, like none of that's local money. But I watched the Toronto and the Edmonton game, and those were home crowds for Toronto and Edmonton. Like it was loud when Toronto and Edmonton did
well. If they could have got the Tempe Arena, you know, I think it sheds more light on the fact that what a shit show Glendale was, really. That you can't gross over $1 million. I think, I don't know what the average gross of a game is, so I couldn't compare it to another mid USA team, but. It's, I don't know. I don't know what kind of appetite there would be in a good market.
Let's see.
For them.
Sorry, say that again. You cut out a bit there.
I don't know what kind of appetite there would be for them in a good market in the greater Phoenix area.
All right, so the NHL, this is per The Athletic, in 2020. Jamie's on the job here. The average... Oh, it was in the headline. Now I got to find it.
Pull that up.
Pull that up, Jamie. It's like 1.3 mil a game on average.
Okay.
So the number is the typical team makes $1,311,860.16 in ticket revenue per regular season game.
Per.
Okay. So, and certainly you can think of the teams that are probably higher than that. Toronto, Edmonton, you know, those high-priced Canadian markets. And you can think of the teams that will be lower than that. Arizona, San Jose, Florida, I don't think sells out necessarily all the time until recently. Oh, there we go. Now they scored. Oh, Boldy. Wow. Figure that one out.
Like, I'll cycle back to, like, what's going on with the Jets and their fans? Like, is this a new thing? Because I can remember them being rabid. Like, that's all I can remember since they've been back. So it's the first that I've heard of them. Like, I heard the Bombers are doing better in attendance than the Jets. But they've also figured out, like, this pricing that works for everyone. So it makes it family friendly. Are they just outpricing themselves? Is this kind of like a canary in the coal mine for that ticket prices are starting to become too expensive and start to see teams fall off?
So here we go. The Jets have seen a 30% drop in the last 3 years in their season ticket base. The best way to bolster that would be a long playoff run. So they have the smallest permanent arena at 15,000. They're drawing a capacity of 87%, which is the third lowest mark in the league. That's crazy. I didn't know that. Overall average attendance is 13,000, the lowest of NHL, other than the Coyotes.
That's 87% of 15,000, too. So that's even worse than... Yeah.
Be, you know, I think this is not our department, but I'd imagine this has a lot to do with the economy. It's hard. Like, the average person in Manitoba doesn't make a ton of cash, and tickets are expensive. You're not in Vancouver where you're drawing from Calgary, Edmonton, where you're drawing from a million person surrounding area. In Winnipeg, it's like the same people have been buying the same tickets since they came there, and they're probably struggling to buy eggs and milk this year.
Well, it's like the rest of us. I was reading I think it was a Blue Jackets thread about, you know, just people saying, hey, you're gonna renew your season tickets this year, and a lot of people are dropping out, and because you can pick and choose the games you want to go to, and they're less than what the season ticket prices have been. So it's a
kidding.
That's more of a symptom of a bad team. You know, if you're getting close to face value and you get to pick and choose.
Yeah, there's a lot of games I wouldn't go to. I mean, honestly, season tickets is a big commitment anyways, right? You're talking about going out 41 nights a year. I don't go out 41 nights a year. I don't go out 14 nights a year.
Be a truck. So, and on top of that, going to games, like, to eat there, to have a beer, even to have a Coke is like $7 now. It's ridiculous. Like, there's going to be a market for junior hockey and AHL to pick up from people that just can't afford to go to NHL games anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy now. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Dynasty will be monitoring the Manitoba ticket situation.
We'll get some boots on the ground over
at... Yeah, we're going to get some boots on the ground for this, for sure. Next up, we're going to get into some prospect stuff. First of all, what a tease. Logan Stankoven got called up by Dallas only to be sent down before the game. That's too bad. I was really hoping to see our boy this year. We still might.
I don't get that, though. Like,
Duchesne ended up playing, I think.
Yeah, is what it play was. Him. Give someone a night off.
Don't know what to tell you, man. It's probably it probably I think I read that it had more to do with cap, in that if Duchesne missed a game and Stankoven played it, it was just going to decrease their cap availability at the trade deadline.
Oh, that's strange.
Joshua Roy looked really good against Buffalo two nights ago. I gotta stop making my notes too far ahead. Two even strength assists on their only two goal of the night. Another bright spot to go along with the progression of Slavkovsky. He looked really, really good. I saw The Athletic has him now as number four on the Habs prospect list, which is up from, I think it was 10 earlier in the year. I usually agree mostly with The Athletic's prospect list. I thought he was too low at the start of the year. Four's pretty high, but like the kid just keeps doing it.
Are you talking Roy or Slav?
Roy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Slav's not a prospect anymore.
He's a man now. You see him talking French in that interview yesterday?
Yeah, dude
He said merci.
Like, he's... Yeah. Yeah, he's a pro. Roy is, since being drafted, he's been one of the best player of his age group.
Yep.
In every level. And so we'll see. We'll see come next year. He should be able to lock down a spot. And
yeah, he'll be in the top six next year for sure.
Yeah, so
unless they go out and spend a bunch of money.
So you got him, you got Kirby Doc, and then it might...
How many games is Kirby Doc playing next year?
20? Come on. Let's hold out hope.
No, come on. No, come on.
Come on.
No, sure. Are you buying Kirby Doc stock?
No.
Doc stock, as they like to call it around local circles?
Doc stock.
Yeah, thanks. 58 games last year, 2 games this year, 18 games in his... Is it sophomore? Sophomore is their second year, right? Sophomore season. Like, the guy's been in the league for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons. He's played 212 games, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not buying. I'm not buying on that. Like, sucks, but he's just not a guy I'm investing in. Late in a draft, I would take him. Most of my leagues are not redrafts, and I'm not paying much, if anything, for Kirby Doc. I was actually in talks for a deal with him. I was being asked for Teverberg, the almost point per game Maple Leaf prospect. And this is in a 32-team league. And I said, you don't have any prospects I want. I like what Teverberg is doing. I will add to him for Doc. And we couldn't find a guy to add that he'd be happy and I'd be happy. I think the closest we got was Etienne Morin, the Flames second rounder from last year, and Teverberg. And he wanted more, and that was as far as I would go. And those aren't two high-profile guys. Those are still, you know, at best 7-8s on their team's prospect list. And I was like, I'm not comfortable going any further than that. I'm just not.
I like Morin.
I do like Morin, too. And I like Teverberg. So that helps my argument. I might look like... That's a league that has a prospect league. So Morin next year as a D+2 in the queue will have a ton of value. At face value, I probably would have done that deal in a league that didn't have a prospect league attached to it, but this one does, and Morin probably by himself is more valuable than Doc next year. So,
well, that's too bad, because he would solve a lot of problems, and if they have to go out and start looking for a second line center, who knows? They might get lucky and have the lotto fall their way.
Well, if they pick in the top five, you know, if they can get Katten's a good pick there.
Yeah, or Lindstrom.
Lindstrom. Yeah.
Lindstrom would be a nice fit for the Habs.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be a very good fit.
Yeah.
Next on my notepad. Oh, yeah. Finally.
Finally.
Finally. Brant Clark.
He's here.
They're doing what I said they'd do. It took them 60 games. I should be a coach. I should be a freaking GM. People should listen to me. Jordan Spence has been sent down to the AHL. Brant Clark, 0.5 points per game. One goal, four assists, 10 games. He's looking good. They're giving him more ice. They're trusting him more. This guy is the future offensive superstar D in the league, certainly for LA. And we're starting to see it already. I am so happy that I didn't have to eat crow on this because I truly believed it. And full transparency, I traded him last week in a big deadline deal to win. So I better win. It's probably going to be one of the most painful deadline days of my fantasy career. So hopefully there's some cash attached to it. Because I moved Spence and I moved Fantilli. And I moved Clark and I moved Fantilli. And I know what I was moving, man. I know it. I know Brant Clark is going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
You see that OT winner coming out of the penalty box?
Like, that's up there with Ebbs's first ever goal.
Get out of here.
Just like, I'm not saying like the niceness nothing factor. Compares. The niceness, not the niceness factor, but more of like the memorable, like big moment kind of thing. Ebbs was in his first game. It was a beauty.
It was like the highlight of the year.
Yeah. And then it was a nice goal by Clark. But
Zach
but
Benson's OT goal winner, was out nicer of the, than that. Out Zach of the Benson's ball, first goal was nice.
Out of the penalty box, OT winner. Yeah, big game the Kings needed. It was the only game on after Nunaki. So
against Allmark.
Yeah. So it's he will be like I'd say even so is what's his power play usage right now?
I didn't
any
look.
Idea.
It's like a minute. Yeah, hold on one sec.
Is it just power play one or is he?
No. Right now he's averaging like a minute 30. When I looked last week, he was averaging like a minute 30. Mind you, that was the day before he had that 2 or 3 point game with the game winning goal. I need my player profile. I need to go down to find that shit, Jamie. Brant Clark. All right. Sorry, listeners. I should have pulled this
but,
up.
More
if you know you're going to ask the question, that. You could bring this up, by the way.
No, it was more of like, is he being utilized on that top power play? It doesn't matter.
His power play time on ice is... Why can't I read that? Yeah, like 2 minutes a game. So he's PP2. Right now. King, as of today, he was on the still second pairing with Dubois, Danault, Moore, Kaliev, power play wise, and he's on the third pairing with Andreas Hinglin still. So it's not like he's rocketing up the lineup yet.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll see that next year.
Yeah, that's fine. And he'll be next year, probably going to be the changing of the guard, and he'll be given that top line power play, and off he goes.
Yeah, unless they slow play him for a contract, which they could. Doughty can certainly hold that spot as long as he wants. All right, the last thing I wanted to talk about, we'll do Craig's list next week. Well, we won't even talk about it. That list is garbage. We will talk about it. Craigslist is garbage. This top 50 prospect list is trash. There's some names on there that I'm happy to see, but not having Michkov at one is a fireable offense. Craig Button.
The thing I laugh about Button and his lists all the time is he has such confirmation bias that he knows what he's talking about. With him, and he's so confident. I should say, so confident in when he's talking about his lists, and so
yeah. You know what it is. I'll give him this. I look at a lot of his lists 3 to 5 years down the line, and I'm like, home run, home run, home run. He'll have a couple home runs, where like so. Okay, for example, he has Rucker McGroarty at number 11. Okay, I'm just picking a name here. If McGroarty ends up being a 50-goal scorer in 4 years, you're like, yeah, there he is. Of course he put him ahead of, you know, Snuggerud and Hudson and Stankov. Of course he did. It just makes too much sense. But then, like, all the misses. So many misses where you're just like, so he'll pick 10 guys that he's higher on than most, and one or two of them he'll be right, and the other eight were gross reaches, like they look like right off the hop. You know, like I was having a discussion with someone about Ryan Leonard at 4. I don't hate Ryan Leonard at 4. As an NHL player, I actually understand Ryan Leonard at 4, but you cannot put him ahead of Michkov. You can't. There's just in no world. If he turns into Matthew Tkachuk, which is probably his ultimate upside and then some, he's still not ahead of Michkov. He just isn't.
Yeah. I have a theory on Button's list is that if the guy performs well at the under 18s, he's on his list forever. He's just like, oh, because he loves that tournament.
So they stick there for a long time. Well, I mean, he's got Callum Ritchie at 6. Like,
that one's pretty wild. Like,
get out of here.
He's having a good year.
He's having a great year.
Yeah.
He's having a great year. But his year is comprised of 25 games so far or something like that. And again, the names you're putting him ahead of, like, even though he's having a great year in the OHL, which is the worst crop of OHLers I can remember probably ever, you've got him, how many spots? You've got Stankoven is 22, Ritchie is 6, and Stankoven is leading the AHL in scoring as a first-year player. Like, what? Like,
and look what Stankoven did at the WHL level for
at the same age as Ritchie. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about here? And I would say Stankoven projects better at the next level. So, like, what? Anyways, we're not going to get into this, but his list is trash. I was happy to see that he has Rodwin Dionicio in there. I like him around the spot he had him at. I like that he doesn't like Shane Wright. Like we do. I like seeing Jackson Blake in there. He's a guy I've been watching for a long time. I like Ethan Del Maestro from Chicago. Nazar is way too low for my money. Yeah, anyways, we could go on about this, but I don't like his list. If we had, like, if you and I, we will be putting out a top prospects list. If our list is as bad as this, we're ending the podcast, okay? I'm not going to stand behind this bullshit. He, it looks like he spent 5 minutes on this. Like, just looking at it, I'm like, what? How? I have so many questions about so many players in terms of how they are arranged. Like, he might have 40 of the right names. I'll give him that. 40 to 45 of the right names, but the order just doesn't make any sense at all. So, anyways, doesn't matter. Lastly, this is important for you keeper league people, where you are in a keep 10. If your trade deadline has not passed, you should be trading your number, your keeper number, to 8 or 9. And you should be picking up potential breakout rookies / players for next year. This is advice I have used myself. This is advice I give to guys when I'm having trade conversations with them at the deadline in these limited keeper leagues. Last year I told a good friend of mine, I don't remember what the deal was, but I got some players that were 9th and 10th on his keeper list. I said, listen, you need to pick up Logan Cooley and you need to pick up Brent Clark. Those are two guys you should be picking up. He did that. He ended up with more picks. Logan Cooley probably makes his keepers this year. I don't know that Brent Clark does. Next year in particular, the next 2 years, at the end of next year, Nikishin is a guy you should be picking up in a limited keeper. The year after, I would go as far as say if you think you're going to suck because you moved all your draft picks, it's now if you draft Miechkov and sit on him for a year. Who are some guys that you think people should be holding on to who will be rosterable rookies or guys who would be available right now?
Okay, I'll give you like four or five. So I think Dylan Gunther has progressed really well. I think he's gonna have a great sophomore year next year. No cup of coffee in the A was good. I think Ryan Leonard's gonna be coming over at the end of the season if BC doesn't go all the way. Worst case is he'll start in the NHL next year. And then Jimmy Snuggard, Yuri Kulich, and Logan Stankoven.
Man, you're really picking all the guys. Okay, I'm going to throw out Cutter Gauthier.
Nice.
And just in case, I do think he's going to play in the AHL next year. But there is a world where he doesn't, and Lane Hutson is a hell of a pick.
That is a hell of a pick.
Yeah, I could see him. I could see him kicking down the door and doing a Kale McCarr style. Just don't look back, especially if he gets the 4 or 5 games this year and looks good.
I don't know if they need so. They got Matheson. He's putting up Matheson. Fantastic yep. numbers this year.
Yeah, he's like top 10.
Yeah, and so they could be patient. Now, what the Habs could do if next year is another transition year?
You move Matheson.
Move Matheson at the deadline. Yep. And then
I would move him in the summer, to be honest.
But, or whenever, right?
I would move him. I think next year is another transition year for Montreal. I would be doing my darndest to be in the bottom three next year. And I would be moving Matheson, and I would be making room for Hutson or anyone and lose more next year. Because this year they're kind of in that purgatory spot again.
Do you think they'll bring Reinbacher? Do you think he'll start in the A next year? Do you think
he'll start in the A next year just because they've got the logjam?
Yeah.
But I think that he'll play NHL games next year, 20 to 40, something like that.
I love their blue line. I think they're shaping up really well. But how much better does Jack Guy make that team when he's in the lineup? Like, the guy is a physical presence. He's like the sheriff. He's the big brother around there.
And did you see him beat the shit out of Casey Middlestad?
Yeah.
He knocked him on his ass 5 times in about awesome. 10 seconds. He's awesome.
He's so awesome. Like,
Arizona, I hope you're still listening. We're talking about Arber Xhekaj here. I sold him Arber Xhekaj the year before. I think I even reacquired him because I thought I moved him to a different team. And he said, you sold me on him being great. So I sent him that clip and I said, there's 0.5 points right there in 10 seconds. You know, we count hits. But I love Xhekaj. If there is a defenseman that I would pay we'll call it a Tanner Jeannot price, not necessarily the same price, but a what the hell were you thinking price,
yeah.
He's probably the guy. He's a unicorn. He is so scary. And I think he still has a lot of untapped second pair upside.
Yeah, trying to think of a player like him from prior days.
I mean, Darian Hatcher comes to mind.
Yeah, like the physical presence. Like almost like he could be like a tougher version of like a Nick Cronwall kind of thing, where it's just you got to
more
know
consistently
where he's
tough. Yeah. Cronwall's a guy who kills you,
yeah.
Once, whereas Xhekaj is a guy who scares you out of a part of the ice for the rest of the game. Like you're not gonna go to the boards against him. You're not gonna stand in front of the net.
I'm coming to get you.
He's terrifying. He's a terrifying man, and I love him. If I was a Habs fan, that's the jersey I'd have.
And his bro's having a good year. His bro's legit Florian, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a late pick too.
Yeah.
So all right. 109. That's pretty good. I thought we'd go longer on that today. Arizona, I hope you enjoyed the show. The rest of our listeners, we hope you enjoyed the show. As the deadline gets closer, we will hopefully have some more trades to talk about and what that means. Evan will hopefully talk a little bit about his lottery war. Oh. And with any luck, I will have some trophies to talk about by the end of the year. I'm also in the lottery war. It is getting close. It is getting close. It's the bottom four teams go to the lottery in my 32-team league. I could talk about this one for a while. I'll be quick. I had five bottom six picks about a month ago. I made a lot of moves to improve my team so I could win the lottery war. Now I am in third last. Fourth last is four wins ahead of me. Fifth last is five wins ahead of me. And the guy who's in fourth last, I have his first. And one of us is probably going to get bumped out of the lotto wars. And I thought for sure I was going to have the number one and two picks. And now it looks like I might not even get the top pick. Because I improved my team too much. I think I'll be okay to make the lottery war, but I also conditionally traded a lot of picks, thinking as long as I get two top four picks, I'll be okay. There is a chance I end up with like first and eighth now. So, but in my defense, I picked up like Jason Robertson and Alex Tuck and Konechny and Jarvis and Kochetev and a bunch of players while I was moving these picks. So I did okay. But I might have outsmarted myself a little bit. We'll see. TBD.
It's tough. It's tough. That's a new wrinkle in fantasy hockey, these lotto wars of the anti-tanking measures. So
yeah, man. Find me a league where people still allow tanking, because I want in. I'm all about it. I'm a commissioner in one league, and I allow tanking in it, and I have exploited that league to the tune of a three-peat, a two-peat. I'm winning it this year, and eventually people are going to get sick of giving me money because I just do the one-on-one off.
Yeah.
Other than the three-peat year where I just was too strong to... I didn't have to move a bunch of picks, but this year I did. And I'm really strong, should win it, but yeah, we'll see. The league might not even survive me this year because I've only lost once and it was a fluke. I don't know if people are sick of Venmoing me.
There we go.
It's too much. All right, buddy. Pleasure chatting with you as always. Thanks for listening, folks. Hope you enjoyed our show, and we will see you next week. Happy
weekend, y'all.
There it is. Happy weekend, y'all.